from the department and colleagues from the various stakeholders. Today our interaction will center around the department's strategic plan and the department's budget. Just so that we're all on the same page, as a committee we are expected to adopt our committee report tomorrow before we leave for our 1 week constituency. We have to adopt a committee report on the budget and the strat plan, and as the program stands we are scheduled to debate on the 12th of April. The department's debate is on the 12th of April, so we're one of the first departments and therefore time is very tight on our side as a committee. So members of the committee will adopt a report on the strat plan and the proposed budget tomorrow. We are scheduled here today from 10 until 1 o'clock. So we've got about 3 hours, 4 hours maximum. We will allow the minister and the commissioner and the delegation an opportunity to do the initial presentation, and then members will interrogate that presentation. Just to say that we have had an engagement with the various stakeholders, received input and wisdom from them. We are receiving your own one. We will interrogate it, and then the committee will go away and do its report to be presented to the department. So that's really what we are doing today. Any other business will have to be rescheduled or scheduled for when we return. For today, we just want to do the budget and the strat plan. We know that, or you might not know yet, but I think we are scheduled to meet you very soon when we return to deal with the administration, the normal quarterly interaction that we have, and also any other business that the department might want to share with us on as soon as we get back. So we want to reserve all those things for then. Right now, we just want to deal with strat plan and budget. Having said that, I will hand over to welcome to the minister. I'm sure we welcomed everybody. But once again, to the minister, the national commissioner, and everybody from the department, you're very welcome. We want to hand over to the minister and her team. And you have more or less an hour 15 minutes just to do your presentations, and we'll take it from there. Thanks, the minister.
Thank you very much, Professor. Am I audible? Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, National Commissioner, and the senior management of the Department of Correctional Services. Chairperson, before I start with my opening remarks, I would like to express a word of gratitude to the Portfolio Committee for the manner in which you dealt with the Correctional Services Amendment Bill, the speed at which you processed it, and I learn today that, in fact, we may actually have a debate or a report presented to the NCOP tomorrow, and that really will help us a great deal so that we can quickly deal with some of the challenges that we have in the department. So our gratitude and appreciation goes to you. Chairperson, we want to thank the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity to present our strategic plan for consideration and deliberation. We are cognizant that this being an election year, Parliament has very limited time to deal with its program, and that of the work of committee is therefore highly pressurized. We present for tabling for 2011-12 strategic plan of the Department of Correctional Services, which is the embodiment of our plans for the next financial year and a roadmap for the attainment of our transformation agenda within the department. These plans are a culmination of a process of introspection aimed at diagnosing the systemic and organizational shortcomings of the department. We are confident that we have fully recognized the need for the Department of Correctional Services to be transformed into an efficient organization, fully capacitated to fulfill its mandate. The key twin tasks for us in the next year are to reposition our department as a proper and integral part of the security cluster within the criminal justice system, and to reorganize the department into an effective organization capable of playing its role within such a system. The introduction of the outcome-based approach in government has had a marked effect on the work and the role of the executive authorities. In various cluster service delivery agreements have been drafted and signed with the presidents. I'm a signatory to a number of these agreements, including the JCPS. The strat plan that is tabled before this House today contains elements that are relevant to me as the Minister of Correctional Services. I cannot overemphasize the importance of planning, and more importantly, the strong links between the resources and the plans, Chairperson. This strat plan of the Department of Correctional Services has been developed taking into account the priorities of government. Last year, we appointed a new national commissioner and a chief financial officer. I've asked them to review the departmental business processes and more critically to ensure realignment of our strategy and business structure as part of enhancing our capacity to delivery on our plans. The work has started and the leadership has engaged National Treasury around the budget program structure. The new structure will only be implemented in 2012-13, by which time the realignment will be completed. That is some elements of the structure, I should say. The transformation of the department is a long-term initiative that will dominate our agenda during the duration of our term. We will, however, also recognize key areas where quick interventions are required in order to stabilize operations and improve service delivery. This strat plan is a clear articulation of these aspirations and begins to speak to the high standard of rendering correctional services as envisaged in the 2005 White Paper on Corrections in South Africa, as well as priorities established by Cabinet and the ministerial cluster priorities with regard to set operational plans. We've committed the department to steering the course in ensuring that it fulfills its undertakings and achieves on clear deliverables identified for each financial year. In this regard, we intend to improve our own monitoring and evaluation capacity and ensure that operational plans are aligned to political and policy objectives. Given our current resource limitation, we will have to ensure a tight balancing act to determine which areas of the plan to prioritize and which ones can be funded over a longer period during the MTEF. Following the conclusion of the parliamentary process and the passing of the Correctional Services Matters Amendment Bill, we shall proceed with the establishment of the Remand Detention Branch as part of our efforts to streamline the overhaul of the criminal justice system. This will include the finalization of our plans to determine policy, budgetary implications, and operational planning. Much of the work that is to be done in terms of the transformation of the department will be based on the report of the ministerial task team, which has concluded its work in December last year. This task team was specifically mandated to look at the utilization of various legal provisions for the controlled release of offenders and to investigate other matters related to this. given the systemic weaknesses in the operating model of the department and its impact on effective application of policies, the task team scope of work was extended to diagnose these weaknesses as well. The report, therefore, will include recommendations on some of the delivery requirements shortcomings, including issues of organization, people, processes, and facilities. As a department, we've accepted the recommendations of the task team, and we shall soon be conducting a consultation process with various stakeholders on the implementation plan for the report. But I must say that that process has already started amongst ourselves, DG Cluster, and the Minister's Interministerial Committee on Security, and we are getting ready to take the report to Cabinet so that we can then bring the report to Parliament and to various other stakeholders. We remain sensitive to challenges confronting us regarding the harnessing of our human resources, the issue of finalizing the suitable shift system for implementation alongside the 7-day establishment is receiving attention, and discussions in this regard are underway between ourselves and organized labor through the Departmental Bargaining Council. We shall ensure that any shift system implemented in our centers ensures that the department has at all times the required capacity to provide services to our offenders as well as the necessary security to ensure the safety of the public. The state plan continues to solidify the long-term project of placing the department on the path of good governance and my resolve to rid the department of all forms of corruption remains strong, Chair. You'll hear a sigh because I read things in the papers on Sunday. About how we are supposedly dealing with some of the issues. And unfortunately, the journalists did not even contact us to hear from us how that matter is being handled. As though we are the police, we are the ones who should have effected the arrest by now. We are fully aware that a lot of work still has to be done if we are to build into some of these short-term interventions and a more sustainable turnaround of the DCS in the medium and long term. We are determined that not only should we manage the resources that are at our disposal efficiently, but that at all times this should be linked to performance compliance as well. Successful implementation of the third plan remains heavily dependent on effective partnerships, both internal and external, to realize the goals we've set for ourselves. We continue to value the support and monitoring of both the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee and the Office of the Auditor General in ensuring compliance in our work. Chairperson, honourable members, allow me at this point to invite the National Commissioner and members of the management to present the state plan to you. But I'll also hasten to say, Chair, that I will just wait for the Commissioner to make his presentation, and if you allow me, I will proceed to attend a Cabinet committee which started at 10 o'clock this morning. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, Honourable Minister, members of DCS present here. Chairperson, we'll do the introduction of the team after the minister has left, so as to allow her time to catch up with her cabinet colleagues on matters that demands her presence. It is a great honor for me today to present to yourselves the strategic plan of Department of Correctional Services 2011-2012 for the first time as the national commissioner of this department. It gives me pleasure in the sense that the strategic plan which you are presenting to yourself is a roadmap that defines our capability to efficiently execute our mandate as a department. We also want to reiterate that this strategic plan is a dynamic document we should need continuous refinement over a period of time during this financial year under review. We would believe, and sincerely so, that the alignment of the resources, both financial and material, including human resource, take into account the shortcomings that the department is facing in this quest to serve the people of South Africa. Minister, the transformation agenda that is underway within the department seeks to support the objectives and the deliverables that we have set ourselves for. We therefore proud and humble ourselves to the department and also to the portfolio committee that our intervention and the deliverables that we have set ourselves shall be attained in the period that we have decided as a team. Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, we would like to indicate that the strategic plan that we are presenting to yourself today will have both the objectives that we have set, the targets that are measurable, and the financial implications that go with it. With those few words, we would like to indicate that this interaction in the financial year that we are starting in a few days' time will indicate that transformation within the Department of Correctional Services is taking place. We also want to highlight, Chairperson, that in your interaction in the budget vote of last year, you indicated to the department that there's a distortion in terms of the budget that we have. And we've taken cognizance of that phenomenon, mindful of the fact that we have a mandate to respond to yourselves, that we shall seek to create conditions for us to be able to create a balance in terms of what the department hopes and seeks to achieve. We'd like to indicate in this discussion and presentation the changes and the distortion in the budget shall not be an easy thing that we shall do in this current financial year. But we have taken cognizance of those comments and the request that has been made to us. Conscious of the fact that the budget must be able to meet the alignment of the organization and the needs of our offenders and be able to move into a transformational agenda of our inmates, we shall assure this committee that the budget that we're presenting has taken into account the need for us to be able to meet the needs of the offenders and also to assure the public in South Africa that the budget that we're presenting to ourselves is not heavy in terms of human resource, but takes into account the needs of our offenders. Chairperson and portfolio members, I therefore would like to present to yourselves the strategic plan that will be presented in two parts, one by Dr. Kutsie, and the financial part will be done by the Chief Financial Officer. I thank you all.
Chairperson, this is a matter I should have raised right from the beginning. I think that I should have expressed our regret for some of the developments in the past week. We've had inmates who escaped from our facilities. There are those who have been arrested, and the others are still at large. I would want to believe that the National Commissioner will keep you informed about the developments around this particular matter. But it is very sad that we had escaped in two different centers. And not just sad, but it actually is a matter of interest as well, that what exactly is happening in our centers. And obviously, when we do take action, we'll require the support of the portfolio committee. I don't want to expand on that one, but certainly, Chairperson, it would seem to me there are certain things that we have to change the manner in which we do things in government. And if it means at times amending our current Labor Relations Act, we need to do that so that we can deal with the cases with speed in government. If not, then we'll continue to have some of the occurrences which are there right now. Thank you very much.
I would imagine the minister would want to leave us at this point, but if there are any pressing questions that members would want to pose to the minister or comments, let's allow them to do that, cognizant of the fact that we are going to meet with the minister and her team in this fashion again very soon when we return in April. But if there are any pressing questions or comments that members would want to make, I'll allow you the opportunity to do that. If not, then we can release the minister to her cabinet subcommittee. Any takers? None? Thanks, Minister. You've...
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I would like us to introduce the team that I lead this morning. Mr. Smallberger, who has just accompanied the minister, is the Regional Commissioner for Western Cape. He will come in and the colleagues will introduce themselves from my left to the back and then the front row. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Thank you, members of Portfolio Committee. My name is Sam Mabotja. I'm Director and Deputy Minister's Office.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, the members of the committee. I am Kosinathi Breakfast, Deputy Regional Commissioner of Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Chairperson, National Commissioner, and members. I'm Manili Sibolela, Head of Communications.
I am Jolly Mekwa, the Director in the National Commissioner's Office.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members and National Commissioner. I'm Grace Moladedi, the Deputy Regional Commissioner of the State in Northern Cape Region.
Morning, everyone. I'm Linda Bond, the Deputy Commissioner, Human Resource Development.
Good morning, Chairperson, Commissioner. My name is Mangoba Ngubo, Deputy Commissioner, Supply Chain Management.
Thank you, Commissioner, Honourable Chairman, and the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Nandi Maraka, Deputy Commissioner for Financial Management Accounting.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Thank you, Commissioner. My name is Jeff Muji. I'm a Special Advisor on Information Technology to the National Commissioner.
Good morning, Chairperson, the Commissioner. My name is Joseph Letoba, the Director for Systems Development within IT in Correctional Services.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the committee. My name is P. Kombambo. I'm the Deputy Commissioner responsible for intergovernmental relations within DCS. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Commissioner. My name is Sven de Kock, and I'm a Special Advisor to the Commissioner on the EPMO, the Enterprise Program Management Office, which will take the programs going forward.
Good morning, Chairperson and the members of the committee. It's Nigel Lwanqele, the Regional Commissioner, KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of Parliament. My name is Zakaria Modise. I'm the CDC responsible for corrections. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Commissioner. My name is Sipiwe Sokela, the Chief Financial Officer of the Department.
Good morning, Chairperson, Commissioner. My name is Kenny Bauer. I'm the Deputy Regional Commissioner for Gauteng.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, as well as the Commissioner. My name is Terence Raseroka. I'm the Deputy Commissioner in the Office of the National Commissioner.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. I'm Joey Kutsia, Deputy Commissioner Operations.
Good
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. James Smallberger, Regional Commissioner, Western Cape.
Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, we've just concluded the introduction of the team that I lead that is going to do the presentation of the strategy plan of Department of Correctional Services.
Honourable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, the staff from Correctional Services Commissioner and other stakeholders here present, I, as the Commissioner has indicated to you that I will present the strategic plan, and after that the Chief Financial Officer will talk to the budget allocation to that plan. Honourable Minister, in her opening remarks, already addressed the first part of the presentation, so I will not repeat that, Chair, if you will allow that. But suffice to say that in our planning process, we have aligned the strategic plan of the Department of Correctional Services with the priorities of government, and in particular with the JCPS cluster, that we have brought in the elements of the delivery agreement. The elements of the delivery agreement within the JCPS cluster, we have aligned our strategic plan with that. So then, if one can just perhaps re-emphasize the last bullet on slide 3 that was mentioned by both the Minister and the Commissioner, that in that planning process we have also looked at the resourcing issues of this plan, and the CFO will elaborate in his part of the presentation on that. If we then can go right into the 7 budget programs that we have in the department, and that will start on slide number 5 in the presentation. I will also not repeat every time the measurable objectives that we have under each of those 7 budget programs, but suffice to say, Chair and Honourable Members, that we have determined those measurable objectives under the 7 budget programs, and in the plan, in our strategic plan, we have developed performance indicators as well as targets that the department has set itself in achieving those measurable objectives. If I then may start with program 1, that is the administration program, and just for your information, then the administration program comprised of 4 components or sub-programs. That is finance, corporate services, operations and management support, and central services. Moving to program or sub-program finance, you'll see the measurable objective there, what we have set in order to achieve that. Our performance indicator in the first bullet relates to the percentage of the allocated budget spend. And our performance target is there to ensure or to maintain no unauthorized expenditure and under expenditure limited to 0.25% of the voted fund. The second indicator, the value of contracts awarded to HDI service providers. Our target is to maintain that at 80% of contracts awarded to HDI service providers. And lastly, the number of audit qualifications. We want to reduce the level of deficiencies using the 2010-11 UGSA report, and from 2012-13 move to a zero deficiency report by UGSA. So that is moving in the direction of an unqualified audit report from the Auditor General of South Africa by 2012-13. Program, sub-program corporate services. Our performance indicators in this program, sub-program, relates to the following: the percentage of person days lost to suspensions, and our target that we have set for ourselves is the 10% reduction of the previous year's baseline. So we want to improve on that. The percentage of grievances handled within 30 days. Our target again is to maintain grievances finalized within the 30-day limit that we have. Percentage of persons days lost to leave. We want to use 2011-12 to benchmark with other government departments on this particular matter to determine the rate, and in 2012-13 to research the root causes in this regard, and then as from 2013-14 we want to implement the interventions that was coming or that were coming from that particular research. So with program sub-program corporate services, the percentage of finance posts not filled, that is a performance indicator that we want to measure ourselves against, and our target there is to reduce the baseline of 14% of 2010-11 by 3% to have a vacancy rate of 11% by 2011-12, and thereafter reduce previous year's baselines by 2% in order to reach a vacancy rate of 3% by 2015-16. And the last performance indicator within sub-program corporate services, the percentage of compliance with the employment equity plan of the department. We moved from 15% compliance with the employment equity plan, and that is the plan that kicked in now after the review, so that by 2011-12 we comply 30%, and by 14-15 and review then the targets in 15-16. Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee, it's also important just to note that this planning was not done in isolation from the white paper on corrections in South Africa. So what that last bullet is indicating is just that how these targets and performance indicators and measurable objective relate to the white paper content, and chapter 8 in the white paper, we talk about an ideal correctional official within appropriate organizational culture, and that is the relationship that this plan has with the white paper. The next sub-program under program administration is central services. And our performance indicators in this regard is the number of DCS personnel detected for corruption, that we move from 60% of finalized investigation on detected corruption in 2011-12 to 80% finalized investigation on detecting corruption in 2015-16. And this performance indicator is also situated within the broader JCPS cluster performance indicators that's been developed within the delivery agreement of the JCPS. The percentage of officials charged with fraud, corruption, and serious maladministration, the target that we've set for ourselves is to move from an 84% conviction rate in 2011-12 to 92% in 2015-16. And the percentage of finalized litigation cases successfully defended by DCS. The target that we set for ourselves is to move from a 72% success rate in 11-12 to 80% in 15-16. Importantly also, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, that within this sub-budget program, you also find the following two performance indicators that links directly, again, with the cluster performance within the JCPS, within the delivery agreement of that particular cluster, and that is to integrate ICT systems through a phased implementation of the Criminal Justice System Business Information System as approved by Cabinet. In 2011-12, to determine a baseline, in 2013 to move from 50% integration, and by 2015-16 that integration we want that to be completed. Lastly, to manage the perceptions of crime among the population. And again, in 11-12, we want to determine a baseline, and then 12-13 from 12-13 to move to improve the level of trust that the South African population has in the criminal justice system. Again, the last bullet just relate to how this strategic plan linked with the white paper on corrections in South Africa. The last sub-program under program administration is operations and management support. And the indicator that we have there and the performance is that this performance indicator refers to the percentage of compliance on the compliance improvement plan that the department has developed and the inspections in terms of that plan, so that we move from a 92% compliance in 11-12 to 98% compliance in 15-16. Budget Program 2 refers to security, program security. Our performance indicators, the percentage of inmates assaulted in correctional and remand detention facilities per year. And here our target, Honourable Chair, is to move from a 2.48% assaults, that's against the total offender population, in 11-12, and to bring that down to 1.7% in 2015-16 against a projected offender population of 178,000. The second performance indicator highlights escapes. Our indicator is the percentage of inmates who escape from correctional and remand detention facilities per year. And here we want to build on the history that we have since 2004 up to last year, and we want to move from 11-12. Our target is to have not more than 60 escapes out of the 167 projected population, and to bring that down to 48 out of the projected offender population of 178,000 in 2015-16. The percentage of centers with access, control, security, turnstiles, we want to move from 32% in 11-12 to 38% in 2015-16. The next performance indicator under program security is the percentage of vetted personnel, and we want to move there in 11-12 from 7% personnel that's been vetted to 14% in 2015-16. The last performance indicator under security, the number of unnatural deaths. We want to move from 50 currently, or rather in 11-12, to 42 in 2015-16, so the number of unnatural deaths to be brought down to their total and with interventions from program security. Under program corrections, that is slide 14, our performance indicators, and this again, Honourable Chair and members of the committee, relates directly to the performance indicator for the Minister of Correctional Services that's been captured in the delivery agreement within the JCBS cluster, offender involvement in rehabilitation. In terms of program corrections, we have corrections programs or correctional programs that contributes also to the total package of rehabilitation programs in the department, and we want to move from 53% participation in 11-12 to 93% in 15-16. The percentage of overcrowding in correctional and remand detention facilities per year, we want to bring that down from 36% in 11-12 to 28% in 15-16. The percentage of offenders serving sentences longer than 24 months who have correctional sentence plans. We want to move from 70% in 11-12, that is a total of 71,601 out of the projected sentence population of 102,288, to 100% in 2015-16. The percentage of offenders whose profiles were compiled within 21 days, we want to maintain as from 2011-12, 100% compliance to the profiling of offenders as they are admitted to our correctional centres, to have their profiling done within 21 days. The percentage of corrections programs that are provided by external service providers, we want to move from 73% to 50%. So the decrease then, in that case, what we are saying is that correcting offending behaviour is the core business of the Department of Correctional Services, and we can't let service providers take over that. We will always need the assistance of service providers, but in terms of corrections programs, we want to have correctional services more and more presenting those programs by itself. Percentage of eligible offenders with work opportunities, we want to move from a 41% participation currently in 2011-12 to 50% by the financial year 2015-16. And then lastly, under corrections, the percentage of offenders with approved parole dates who completed pre-release programs, we want to move from 60% in 11-12 to 65% in 15-16. And again, the relationship between the plan and the white paper. Under program care, our performance indicators, the first three, Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee, you will see deal with HIV and AIDS. The first bullet deals with testing of inmates. We want to improve that testing or increase the testing from 23% in 11-12 to 32% by 15-16. Then after the testing, the percentage of HIV positive offenders, those who tested positive, we want to provide treatment and improve the treatment from 49% in 11-12 to 56% by 15-16. And the third bullet then relates to those inmates, the percentage of inmates with a CD4 count below 350 who are on ARV treatment. We want to improve the service in that regard from 92% in 11-12 to 96% by 15-16. And on slide 16, the last bullet, the percentage of inmates diagnosed with mental illness and placed under treatment. There is a concerted effort by the department in this regard to move from 70% in 11-12 to 90% by 15-16, those offenders with mental illnesses, to identify them and to treat them. And then the percentage of care programs provided by external service providers to move from 60% to 70% by 2015-16. So here I'll see just the opposite as in corrections programs. Here we want to have an increase for various reasons. The percentage of eligible offenders who participate in care programs move from 45% in 11-12 to 50% by 15-16. And lastly, the percentage of offenders on medical treatment for communicable diseases, hypertension and diabetes, to move from 8% in 11-12 to 12% by 15-16. Under program personal development, that is about the personal development of offenders, the targets, percentage of eligible offenders who participate in literacy training as stipulated in their correctional sentence plans, to maintain the participation at 64.7%. From 2011-12 to 15-16. The next one is the percentage of eligible offenders who participate in the adult basic education and training programs according to their correctional sentence plans, and here to maintain the participation at 60.9%. the percentage of eligible offenders who participate in further education and training, mainstream education. Now, there's a separation between the mainstream education, that's the more academic side, and the skills development, FET, college programs. So in this case, it's those offenders who participate in the theoretical component of formal education. Up to June 2011, the target to reach is 10.9%. And then, Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee, you'll see that there's a decrease in the percentage. And that decrease is because of the changed curriculum or the national curriculum statement that says in order for you to have, and that explanation is on the next slide, to have a registered school, you must have the necessary resources, you must have appropriate facilities, the necessary teachers for the different disciplines that need to be taught. And in that case, in that within that framework, correctional services then planned to comply with those requirements to register schools within the department, and therefore you'll see a drop in the percentage. For now, we have been allowed to provide education, not necessarily complying with the norms set out to register a full-time school. The percentage of offenders involved in sports, recreation, arts and culture, in 11-12, we want to increase participation by 4% against the 2010 baseline, and then we want to increase by 2% based on the previous year's baseline. Then I have explained the first bullet on the next slide. That is the offenders participating in the FET college programs. That is, that was previously your end courses, what they call the more practical courses to be done within skills development. We want to move from 13.1% in 11-12 to 14.4% by 15-16. The percentage of eligible offenders who participate in skills development programs per year to move from 18.92% in 11-12 to 20% in 15-16. And then the last performance indicator under development is the percentage of eligible offenders who participate in production workshops and agriculture. And in production workshops, we want to improve by 1,890 against the 8-9 baseline, and in agriculture we want to improve the participation by 2%. So that means moving from 3,385 offenders in moving to that number of offenders involved in agriculture by 2015-16. Program social reintegration, again the first performance indicator relates directly to the delivery agreement within the JCBS cluster that's been signed, or the minister is signatory to that delivery agreement, and that is the percentage of parolees without violations per year. Honourable Chairperson, you'll remember that in previous strategic plans we have highlighted this, but we've highlighted we focused on parolees who violated their conditions, and in this plan you'll see the focus is on those who do not violate their parole conditions. So we want to move from 76.2% in 11-12 to 81.99% in 15-16. The percentage of parole cases in which victims of crime make representations, that is another focus area in our plan, and we want to move from 11-12 from 2.22% participation of victims to 5.32% by the year 15-16. The percentage of eligible cases considered by the parole board, we move from 90% 11-12 to 94% by the year 15-16. The next slide refers to the first bullet there, refers to the parole review board. The percentage of cases considered by the parole board and referred to the parole review board to move from 0.08% in 11-12 to 0.11% by 2015-16. And the percentage of remand population granted bail and placed under community supervision, we want to move from 22.4% in 11-12 to 32.7% in 15-16. And then the last performance indicator refers to a ratio, the ratio of incarcerated offenders with sentences of 24 months and less to probationers. What's the ratio? Those under 24 months to probationers. We want to move from a ratio of 1 is to 1.6 in 11-12 to 1 is to 1.8 in 15-16. So the emphasis on to have less of those offenders within our facilities, to have them within the community service orders. And then the last program, facilities. The performance target there is the number of new bed spaces created. So that is what we're going to measure ourselves against, Chair and Honourable Members. And what we're saying here in our planning is that from 11-12 to 15-16 financial years, we plan to have an additional 16,511 additional bed spaces during that five-year period. And the breakdown of that you'll find in the table just below that statement. That, Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee, is the planning, the strategic plan for the Department of Correctional Services over the next 5 years. Having concluded the plan, you'll also find that as part of the plan, not necessarily published in the plan, but as part of the plan, you will find reference to the following documents that will assist in understanding the strategic plan of the Department of Correctional Services. So there is a link created on the website of the department that will take you to the Master Information Systems Plan, the MISP, the spending plan of the department, the HR strategic plan, the procurement plan, the workplace skills plan, the service delivery improvement plan, the project portfolio management plan, as well as the strategic risk register that's been identified, the risk identified by the department in relation to its operations. And just finally, the last two slides, Honourable Chair and members of the committee, just address the way forward from here, now that the strategic plan has been published, what needs to be done. Very important just to understand that the strategic plan will be implemented via our annual performance plan, the APP, and the annual performance plan will be tabled in Parliament by the 9th of May 2011. So the annual performance plan provides a quarterly breakdown of performance targets for the upcoming financial year and yearly targets for 2012-13 to 13-14 as prescribed by Treasury. And monitoring of this plan. So what we have in our strategic plan will be the implementation of those, of the obtaining of those targets will be monitored on a quarterly basis through the APP by means of quarterly reports that will be submitted to the Executive Authority, the Presidency, National Treasury, as well as the Portfolio Committee. And from the annual performance plan, branches then within the department develop their operational plans that will deal to the, with the day-to-day responsibilities, as well as the outputs and activities to be delivered in the APP and the SP. And the due dates for that, both the annual performance plan as well as the operational plans of the department, will be completed by 31st of March, upon which, by the 9th of May, the annual performance plan will be tabled in the National Assembly. Thank you, Honourable Chair and members of the committee. I'm not sure if the CFO should come and... Okay, thank you.
No, I think what we'll do is we'll interrogate the strategic plan for an hour. That'll take us to 12, because that's more important than the financials. The financials just informed that. And then from 12 o'clock, we'll allow the CFO about 20 minutes, Chief, to do yours, and then we will interrogate it. So what we'll do now, we will allow each member 10 minutes to interrogate it, and we'll just take the mic and go all the way up. If you don't have anything in your 10 minutes, you just pass it on. And Commissioner, you and your entire team will respond, but we will allow each member 10 minutes, starting with myself. I don't know where the mic is, because you'd... Okay, you'll... I think we'll... What I will do is I'll put three questions, and no, I've got one. I'll pose three questions, you'll respond, and I'll put my next three until my time is up, but members can take it one at a time if they wish. You've got 10 minutes to do whatever you want to do. My first one is on page... on slide 6, I think, if we go that way. Talking about supply chain management. Your second bullet point, value to historically disadvantaged service providers, 80%. Now that is a very noble, that's a very noble target. My blunt question to you is, what measures do you put in there? You know, you put historically disadvantaged people, you put PeZulu fencing, and you have Mrs. Ndlovu there. The reality that this thing is not Mrs. Ndlovu, it's run by somebody else. So I want to indicate to you that if you put 80% historically disadvantaged, you better make sure that there are no frontings there. So the question that I'm putting to you is that it's no use putting that if you're not able to check the frontings. What is it that you're doing in terms of checking the frontings? Because we know historically that this is what has happened. So that's my first question to you on that one. And I'll go per slide, and then I'll allow you to answer. Then if you go to the next slide, lost on suspension, you've got reduced by 10%. You talked there about suspensions in the main. My question simply is this, that I don't think that I will preside over this department, over this portfolio committee, without making a noise if we ever find another scenario where we have suspensions of 3 years, regardless of whatever labor relations impediments that you have. So that is where I'm moving from. I want to find out from you, how are you going to do it? We're just not going to have a scenario where somebody is suspended for a year, hasn't moved his finger, and has got paid. Now, if there are labor relations problems, I want you to explain to us how you're going to fix up those labor relations problems. And if you can't fix them up, then say so to us, because we will interact with our colleagues in the Department of Labor. But long suspensions, as far as I'm concerned, is something that you need to deal with. It's no use saying to us, this is your target. Specifically, what are you doing about long suspensions? And we can give you a list of many people in your establishment who have had long suspensions and got paid about it. That's the strategy that I want to understand how you're going to do. And the last one for now, before you respond, and then I'll take the next one. If we go to your next slide, you say percentage of finance posts, and so on. And you talk about reducing the vacancy rate to 11%, to 2%, and so on. You know, 2-3 weeks ago, the president said all posts must be filled. All posts must be filled. And if they are funded, what are you doing with that funding? If you have a vacancy for a financial manager, he's being funded every year, but you keep it until 2015 or 2015, 2016, according to your program, what are you doing with that money? So there's two things that I want to understand. The president says fill all posts within 3 months. All. And you come with a strategy that gives us up to 2011 for funded posts. And number two, what are you guys doing with that funding? Because, I mean, if I want to be cynical, I could say that you ask Parliament for money for a post, you don't fill the post, you then take that money and use it for another project. Legitimately or otherwise, it's not the issue. But the issue is that you're asking for money for A, you don't fill A, and then you use that money for B. That practice has to come to a standstill, and that's I'm asking the question. Why are you taking 7 years or 5 years to fill posts that are funded? So if you could answer those three, I'll move on to my next and I'll hand over to somebody else. But if I'm not sure, Commissioner, anybody, just to deal with those three for us, please.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the questions. I would like to perhaps take a step on the last question on the funded posts. Chair, you are correct. But I would like to indicate that when this bullet point was put on the table and when the submission was made to ourselves, we quickly indicated that this is not acceptable. It's not something that we needed to present to ourselves, and it was agreed that we'll present it as is, but we'll be able to motivate the counterpoints. One, we sincerely agree that the President has given a clarion call that all funded posts must be filled. Chairperson, I want to put it here on record that in the year that is about to end by this week, next week, the Department of Correctional Services has employed 1,848. I might be out in terms of numbers. That is a period stretching from July to October, November this year. And therefore the question that you are raising, Chairperson, is correct as to, is it going to take us that long to fill all those funded posts? I, as the National Commissioner and the team that I lead here, have taken a decision that the directive given by the President shall be adhered to. And we've indicated in our interaction that we shall make everything possible in our power that the regional commissioners where the coalface activity is taking place are accountable for this particular deliverable. We've taken a decision that by June this year, the financial year that we start, 50 to 60% of those posts must be filled. Because it is a challenge, we cannot promise here that we shall be 100%, we'll be telling a lie. But if we've been able to fill close to 2,000 posts within the shortest period and the passion and the dedication that we have, it is possible. There's nothing that is impossible here. We therefore want to put yourself that the indicator as is does not give a true reflection of the reality. And therefore we'd like to be held accountable by this committee that we shall be in a position by June, July to be able to fill approximately 50 to 60%. So that by the end of the financial year, because we're talking about the financial 11-12, almost all the posts possibly should be filled. We know we can make this assertion that much as there is a directive of filling all the vacant posts, there might be challenges in making 100%, but we should be able to be closer to that target. Because as human beings, we need to make it a point that this target is a directive because we have those posts funded. Chairperson, we shall live to the expectation that by the end of the financial year that we are presenting this strategic plan, we are closer to 100%. But certainly by June, July, we should be able to meet the target of 50%. I'll therefore leave the other two questions on slide 6 and slide 7. Slide 7 is with respect to suspension, and slide 6 is with respect to measures to counterpoise the issue of fronting when we say 80%, measures that we want to put in place.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I will deal with the question of the first one, which is funding. Chairperson, as a department, we're fully aware that the budget of the department needs to be distributed accordingly, without any funding. The measures that one have come up with, to say each and every company that is sitting on our database, we said it needs to be reviewed for each and everyone that is on our database. And the name of the directors that for those companies, and we need to have the copies of the IDs for those companies, for those directors, and also to check what are those directors that are registered in terms of FIPRO. Why do we need to do all that steps, Chairperson, to make sure that people that we are dealing with is a legitimate people, is the real owners of the of those companies. What we are trying to run away from, Chairperson, to say the huge budget of the organization is only going to one person, or it's only going to the certain individual. We want to make sure that the processes in terms of the supply chain framework, we follow each and every step in order to comply. Because, Chairperson, we're fully aware that it might be quite a number of funding that it might be taking place, but it means if we can allow that as a department, it means we are non-compliant with the supply chain framework. So, we will do everything in our power to make sure that all the supporting documents that have been provided to the department, it's been checked thoroughly. Not only the copies, Chairperson, we needed to also to verify in terms of the original copies. That's a measure that we are taking at the moment, Chairperson. And over and above that, it's not that our department will only rely on our database alone, because you might find that some of the service providers have been defrauding other departments, of which has been registered to the database of Treasury. We are linking with also Treasury to make sure that the people that we are dealing with, they've been accredited by National Treasury. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think on the issue of suspensions, I just want to clearly indicate that we did an analysis. And our analysis is that we, as a department, we don't have sufficient capacity to be able to deal with transgressions that actually take place in the organizations. Currently, we've got a directorate that is dealing with employee relations. It's one director, about three deputy directors. And also, that's number one. So we don't have enough capacity in terms of dealing with it. But number two, also we've got disintegrated functions that deals with suspensions. We've got another directorate called DIU and Code Enforcement that actually deals with other aspects of transgressions. So one of the things that we started doing now, and we've actually made some progress in saying that we need to create additional capacity in the form of creating, instead of a directorate, a chief directorate of employee relations, whereby we need to be able to deal with all employee relations related cases internally. But also the other issues that Chairperson, with labor relations processes, there's also dependencies on external role players. For example, we would need people from other government departments to chair as chairpersons, and in that case they've got other responsibilities as well. But we are actually working on top of that one. Thank you.
Ngiyabonga baba. You'll have the opportunity. You can interrogate it later. So, do you want to follow it up right now?
Thanks. I just want to know. Are you not bound by the SSBC or any other collective agreement forum? where you people agreed that in a certain time period suspension should be finalized, hearing should be finalized. You indicated at the grievance, there's a 30 days. That is fine. But why not to say there's 60 days? And I know the police is 60 days. Within 60 days, you should charge, you should finalize the proceedings. Otherwise, it is a penalty against the department. Is it the same in this case with you? And the other point is the loss of leave. What leave are you referring to? Sick leave, ordinary leave, your annual leave? What leave are you people referring to? And a point which is of serious concern, Chairperson, the capacity, as the previous speaker indicated, they don't have the capacity to deal with transgressions. It means there's room. If you are not effective with transgressions, you create room for transgressions to happen. And I believe in the previous question where we interacted with each other, it was said that the code enforcement team is national to ensure uniformity. But what is the possibility not to have? You can also ensure uniformity if you have your regional codes, which is being guided by national and supervised by national within your province, and so you build up the capacity to deal effectively within a specific time frame with your discipline. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I think on the first question, yes, indeed, there are specific time frames that that guides the management of grievance procedures as agreed in the structures of on labor relations structures. As I'm saying that, as much as those exist, Chairperson, there are challenges internally, as I'm saying. The challenges in terms of the number of cases that comes up and also the ability to be able to finalize those cases actually create that specific gap of us not really complying to those time frames. That is a fact. And that is actually what we're acknowledging, that it's a challenge, but we need to be able to deal with it. Number two, the issue of a disintegrated functions of labor relations that are scattered within the organization, it's also one of the key issues that we picked up. So one of our view is that we need to be able to create a central repository for labor relations matters in terms of when you start with a case from the beginning until where it ends. There should be someone who takes responsibility from a national point of view. Basically, that's what I'm saying. Thank you.
All right. Let us, it's fine that you're giving that to us. Commissioner, you or somebody in your office must take notes, even if it's Mamela. When we meet, because the minister has asked to give us a state of the department address, not a state of the department address, but interaction. One of the things that you guys will have to come to us with is around this matter of suspensions. How much integrity is there? Because, you know, you'll get a situation where I'm not dealing with Ngele, because Ngele has got something on me. And I keep quiet, because if I deal with him, he's going to bring out some of my own stuff. We know of these things. We know of them. We deal with all these people here. So when we have this interaction, please, between yourself and Minister, explain to us, how are you going to make sure that people are firm on these matters? Because if they are not, they're scared that they are going to come out as well. We get them every day. And at that interaction, we'll give you examples of those things. So I'm just saying, we hear what you're saying for strat plan purposes, but we're going to interrogate this matter further. Definitely we're going to interrogate it further, because it's part of the serious problems that we have. Do you want to react now? But we want to have a more detailed discussion around that, and we'll give you examples. But if you want to react quickly, you can, then I'll go to my next three, and we'll move on.
Chairperson, we concur with your views. Certainly what the DC has indicated here is the challenge that we also face within the department, perhaps to expand a little bit, is that when there is a grievance or a suspension, and the manner with which this suspension is attended to is also problematic. Because when a sanction is issued, it's sanction that is based on brass cap. I should think we should not feel afraid to talk about this thing. This is an organization that is in transformation. And these are the things that we're finding on the ground. Wherein those who are supposed to take sanctions are afraid to take very serious punitive measures.
And it ends up with people that come back to the organization because they're being supported from within. Chairperson, I should think the integrity that you're talking about is an integrity that we should need to inculcate within the organization. Therefore, as the DC indicated, we need to be able to have people who are sitting in these hearings that are independent and they are not compromised. We have found cases wherein, from my perspective, I'm unable to understand why a particular individual is in the organization, given the gravity of the indiscipline that has taken place. And the sanction is so light, so acceptable, and that it's business as usual. So we are saying we will interact with yourself and engage with it's a process that is ongoing. We cannot provide you here with a definite proposition, but we are saying because of the transformation that is taking place, we need to have robust mechanisms in place, and that's what we're working towards too. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me go to my last three. I want to refer you to slide 8. You know, you talk about, and we agree with all these things, but we're just posing questions from our own experiences and concerns. You talk about one of your performance indicators is alignment with the white paper of the ideal correctional services official. And if you go to that white paper on page 110, it says the ideal correctional official must be a unique combination of specific personal qualities, experience, expertise, professional ethics, personal development, and multi-skilling. That is your explanation of an ideal candidate, and you're saying that's one of your targets. If you went to Leocorp today, one of your CMCs there is somebody that was working in the kitchen. And because a vacancy arose, that person was taken from the kitchen and made a CMC manager, Mr. Bauer. And that person is then responsible for deciding whether Vincent appears before parole or not. That is what's happening on the ground today in Leoko. So how do you reconcile this ideal in the white paper of this is what a new cadre DCS person is? And yet when we go onto the ground, we find examples like we found in Leoko. So just reconcile these two things for us. That's the first question. The second one I want to pose to you, if we go to slide number 12, you there at the bottom of slide 12 says the percentage of turnstiles, I'd imagine electronically managed turnstiles, must move from 32% to 38%. So we're saying the other 60% of those facilities, Commissioner, are continually going to be secured by handcuffs. What are we saying? What are we saying about, because that's one of our core functions. And somebody must today explain to us, I think I heard somewhere that there was a problem with the Sondolo, or if it's not been cancelled and it's now being handled internally. But what is clear is that we can't have the majority of our facilities turnstiles secured by stuff other than what is best practice. So it's a measurement that I don't think we're going to be able to live with, that only 38% of our facilities. So somebody should answer that one to us. And then my final one before I move over is on slide 14. Can somebody explain to me why does this department have sentence plans? What is the objective of a sentence plan? You're now talking about moving your sentence plan to 100%. I'm not even questioning whether that is right or wrong, but somebody must explain to me what is the purpose of a sentence plan. I'll tell you why. Because in the year gone by, Commissioner, we had 60,910 people who had sentence plans. 60,000 who had sentence plans. And yet, literacy 4,100, skills developed 6,900. So in other words, 60,000 people have sentence plans, only 11,000 people get upskilled or upgraded or whatever. So why have a sentence plan in the first instance if you having that sentence plan and it's not serving any purpose? What we don't want is to do it for compliance. Somebody said you must have a sentence plan, therefore you rush through the sentence plans, but it doesn't mean anything, because 30% of those with sentence plans are benefiting, the other 70%, I don't know, somebody's just satisfied that he's got a sentence plan, and Commissioner, he probably gets a performance bonus for it, because he's reached his 100% sentence plan. That's not an end in itself. The end is that that sentence plan must help for rehabilitation. So why do you guys have a sentence plan is the question that I'm asking, and what are you hoping to achieve from those sentence plans? Thanks.
Chairperson, as a national commissioner, I would respond to some so that we provide leadership. Slide number 8 that you spoke about, ideal correctional services officer. Indeed, the issue that you are raising here is something that we would like to address. Part of the legacy that we want to leave as leadership here is that we don't want to employ anybody from the street, every Tom, Dick and Harry. What we are saying that is that we need to develop and establish an academy. And this is contained in the strategic plan, the folded document on page 28. Page 20, my apology, I don't have my glasses. Chairperson, for us to be able to comply with Chapter 8 of the White Paper of the Correctional Services of South Africa of 2005, this department must start to implement some of the issues that we have put in that document. The establishment of an academy will help us to be able to deal with the problems that we have currently in the organization. An ideal correctional services officer must be able to comply to certain prerequisites to be able to understand what this organization is all about. As is now, we are not an employer of choice. It's the last resort. Everybody who cannot find job in the police anywhere and correctional services becomes the only organization wherein people can just join, because we don't have a clear curriculum as to the profile of an officer that you want to establish. We are saying in this current financial year, one of the outputs is that we need to have an academy. An academy is not going to come easy. We'll interact with all the institutions. We'll interact with the JCPS cluster. When you look into the model that the police are using, we'll look into the model that the defense is using, and pick up some of the elements that we have also seen in the benchmarking process that we have done internationally. But, Chairperson, it will be eluding ourselves by saying that we'll have an ideal correctional services if it's picking anybody in the street to become a member of correctional services. An ideal cadre or a member of correctional services must come through the ranks and through the academy. I just wanted to indicate that we need to be truthful to ourselves that in discussing this strategic plan, we seek your support, and therefore being frank and open about what the appropriateness of what we need is in line with the deficiencies that we see. So we have seen that there is a huge gap in us fulfilling the ideals of the white paper. And therefore, in response to that item is that we will have an establish an academy. Work has begun. We are discussing this matter internally so that we can have a model and a proposition as to how this must start. In the interim, we'll work with the tertiary institutions, which are also dealing with the issues of training of our people. Because an ideal correctional officer with an appropriate organizational culture will come with understanding what the organization is all about. I'll leave the other two in terms of turnstile and the objective of sentence plan.
Because my understanding of sentence plan is that it's a roadmap towards rehabilitation. My colleagues will respond to this. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee, the National Commissioner. With regard to the 10 stars, I think I need to take the members back to where we started. The department put up 10 stars at 66 centers of excellence, 6 regional offices, and 1 in the national office. Chairperson, a year or two ago, a decision was taken that the 10 stars should be deactivated because of the challenges that were experienced with regard to the contract time. And the Chairperson and members of Parliament, in June, July last year, the decision was arrived at that the 10 stars have to be reactivated, a process that our officials in IT had undertaken. And I can confirm to yourself that out of the 66 centers of excellence where the 10 stars had been put on, 6 are not functional at this point in time. And now functional meaning they have been reactivated. There is still a process of issuing ID cards and biometrics so that it becomes then 100% functional. So what I'm trying to say is the reactivation process has started, and where we were able to reactivate successfully, we have done that. But the fact of the matter is not all of our correctional centers were going to be to have 10 stars installed. What we have undertaken is that in this current financial year, the 3 centers that we will be opening in the Western Cape, including the new Kimberley, which has its own 10 stars, these 3 in Western Cape will also have their 10 stars installed. That would then increase the number. What we are doing from a security point of view is to ensure that all of the facilities where we are housing maximum offenders will then also put in a plan of how to secure those facilities and have security access controls put in place. I think with regard to the Sondola 10 stars that are being secured by using handcuffs, that was the period, Chairperson, when the deactivation was decided on. Chairperson, the correctional sentence plan, I think it is the department's commitment that each and every offender that is serving a period more than 2 years to have a correctional sentence plan, which was arrived at after a needs assessment was done during the admission of each and every offender. Now, the fact of the matter is that what is contained in the correctional sentence plan as a roadmap towards the rehabilitation of the offender, that by release on parole or probation, that offender would be rehabilitated, Chairperson, I must admit that not each and every intervention that we have committed ourselves have been done successfully. Firstly, it was the process of designing the 8 correctional programs and the other rehabilitation programs, but also, Chairperson, the implementation of those programs. We do not have the capacity, the training that we are conducting throughout the country to implement the programs. Is something that we are busy with at this point in time. We can provide statistical information that would say for the region Western Cape Free State, we are at this point with the training of correctional intervention officers and correctional assessment officers.
Now, once we have completed that training, Chairperson, we will then be in a position to can indicate to yourself and to us how effective we are with regard to the implementation and compliance to the sentence plan. Chairperson is quite right that not all offenders are benefiting from these correctional sentence plans. And we are working tirelessly to ensure that the plans that are put in place to rehabilitate would be complied with. I must as well admit that with regard to those that are sentenced less than 24 months, there are intervention programs, but not in the same context and in the same scope as with the ones that have been sentenced to 24 months and above. I should indicate that we are doing everything in our power, the branch corrections and development and care, to come to a position where we will then be in a position to say, this has been what we have done the past year, once this quarter has come to an end, but then we have to have a re-look at what is it that we are planning for the coming year, because clearly we are not doing exactly what we had committed ourselves in doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And also thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, my question is on social integration on page 2, on page 20, slide 22. First, Chair, I wanted clarity from the department in terms of the white paper that was the stakeholders involved when they implement the white paper? Because there's a lot of questions that is coming out of this white paper in terms of the stakeholders. But Chair, on the social integration, because it's the one that is in my heart, because I believe that the department is investing a lot in skills and other rehabilitation program. My question, Chair, is that is the partnership with the stakeholders to provide community-based support program for parolees and probation? Has the department developed a stakeholder management document? The department indicated that a spending focus will be, among other, on reducing parole violence. And how does the department intend to do that? Again, in the 2009 and 10 annual report, the department acknowledged the lack of involvement of victim in parole hearing. And SAS indicate that they will be develop a major marketing strategy, particular in the region. Now, Chair, has the department developed the marketing strategy? What other support will the department provide to the victim or their families who need to attend this hearing but cannot do so as a result of a financial constraint? I don't know how much time do I have, Chair, because I've noted even security, although we have touched some of the or some on the security, Chair. On security, sir, my question is that the department indicated that audit on security technology was completed in 2009 and 2010. What are the funding of this audit? And what are the areas of concern identified by the audit? and what steps were taken to address those concerns, if any. The department also chair indicated that they plan to increase the number of centers with access control security sustained to 78. How many of these security access testers are not operating, and for how long? And what is being done to remain the sustaining? What measures are in place to ensure that the same problem is not experienced with one of the installed in 2011-10 financial year? Thanks, Chair. I'll come again if other members didn't touch other departments like care and...
Thank you, Chairperson, and the members of the committee. The second question that the Honourable Member asked on the audit that was conducted on security technology, I can confirm to the Chair that yes, an audit was conducted. The department approached the CSIR to assist with the security technology audit at selected correctional centers. A summary of the findings and concerns are as follows. It was clear that there was perimeter intrusion detection system. The newer systems on the fences are functioning well. Some of the older systems are in dire need of maintenance or upgrade to get in full functioning order. With regard to CCTV systems at our centers, it was observed that all were in use and the technology current, but not the latest. All centers required more CCTV cameras to have adequate coverage of the correctional center. There were cameras that need to move for optimal coverage, and CCTV at various facilities could be viewed from a central control room. Metal detectors, most scanners were not functional. Only a few old scanners were observed. Proper calibration also improves performance and lowers the false alarm system. We have a complete and comprehensive report, Chairperson, that I think it would be proper that we provide to yourself and members. What I can indicate is that, as I had said earlier, that in the 66 that were installed and the six regional control rooms and the one at the national office, the department has committed itself in putting up these systems also at the three facilities that are going to be opened this year. I do not have the full report that indicates how many are now fully operational. Suffice to say that the report that I have, Chairperson, is that six of the larger institutions, and here I'm referring to your Johannesburg, your Pretoria, Westville, and Portsmouth, the system is not fully operational, as some of the identification tickets that officials were supposed to have had were not functioning anymore, so they had to start a process of providing to officials new tickets and taking their fingerprints. The reduction of violations, Chairperson, how the department is going about that is to... We have looked at the structure at our community corrections offices, and we are of the view that that structure does not talk to what is it that we aim to do. The National Commissioner and the team will be having an engagement to look into the establishment of community corrections, but that also of the department to establish as to whether that establishment is able to cause that there's a reduction in the levels of violations. It would mean then having stricter monitoring measures in place, but also having officials to be able to do that function. The department also, Chairperson, has looked into other options like electronic monitoring, and we are at a very advanced stage to come to a decision as to whether that would be done now or when. So I'm just indicating what is it that we are trying to do in, to ensure. But also I think importantly is to do a reassessment of the offenders that are in our system, parolees and probationers, on a 3 to 6 monthly basis, so as to either upgrade or degrade their privileges. The question that is posed with regard to victim participation, Chairperson, is that we are not at where we would like that at each and every parole hearing, the victims of crime or their family members should be able to attend. Why is because, Chairperson, because of the fact that some offenders have been relocated to facilities that are very far from their from the places where they committed crime, it happens that it is not at all cases that victims are able to attend. The department, however, together with the cluster departments like prosecuting authority, justice, we have embarked on a awareness campaign to make the members of the public aware of the fact that it is crucial that victims of crime attend. And correctional services in the regions, Chairperson, where the victim of crime could be located, have transported victims of crime to attend parole board hearings. We can also provide that all information. But I must also indicate that it is not at the level that we would like it to have been, because it's not all victims that avail themselves. Some are not interested, but others also still feel intimidated by some of the offenders that had committed these heinous crimes. So, Chairperson, we will provide that information to yourself and to members of the portfolio committee. With regard to stakeholder involvement, when the department started to craft the white paper on corrections, that started in 2003-2004, Chairperson, yes, stakeholders were involved, and the department also sought their inputs with regard to finalizing that document. There are areas, I think, where stakeholders have indicated that we could have come to a better framework, which I think that has also been conveyed to yourselves. But the fact of the matter is stakeholder involvement was prime to us concluding work on the white paper. I do not have the information with regard to how many stakeholders are involved in skills and rehabilitation programs, but that is information that could be provided to the Chairperson and members of Parliament, the exact total number of NGOs, CBOs, and FBOs that are involved in the rendering of programs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Anybody further? If not, from Yanda.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. The commissioner said they must introduce themselves, all of them. I didn't hear a commissioner from LNM. It means that I'm not represented here. Because I'm from Mpumalanga, but no representation. Thank you, Chairperson. My question, what has been the impact of the 7 days establishment on program provided to offenders? Has there been an increase in program provided the official was there any significant increase in the target of offender participating in the program? The second question, what progress has been made with regard to the master information system plan and upgrade to the IT infrastructure? My other question, I'm sorry, I can't see. My third question is, officially charged with fraud, corruption, and serious maladministration, moved from 84 to 92. And I just want to get a clarity. Are these some of the officials still with the department, or they are still on suspension, or others, they are no longer with the department, or others are sentenced? Thank you.
Hello. Chair, I would like to quickly give an overview on the slide number 9, bullet point number 2. Perhaps we gave a very broad explanation there. With respect to the officials being charged, there are cases which we cannot speak about currently in this presentation, but certainly issues of fraud, corruption, and serious maladministration is a serious concern within the organization. We can say without any form of hesitation that there are serious problems of fraud and corruption. But the level to which we can confirm that will be confirmed by the investigation that is taking place. We'll certainly come back to this committee when the process has been completed. But certainly, a member of the committee, there are colleagues and members of the correctional services that have been convicted. A case in point which I would like to raise here is that we had a high-profile offender who left our facility, whose data, biodata, was deleted. And it was an old man of 72 years who was found guilty for drugs worth 20 million rands. Am I right? 20? Yeah, over 20 million. There is a conviction rate here. And we would like to indicate to the committee that we will not be deterred by what is happening within the organization. Where the incidents of crime, corruption, and collusion with our members will stand firm on these matters. I just wanted to give the committee a sense that the department and the government in particular must fight corruption. The cluster in particular has set targets. It's one of the deliverables that we need to deal with corruption within the government departments. And we need to heighten the rate of conviction with respect to those who are found to be involved in criminal and corrupt activities. Perhaps in the next sitting over time, because there is a progress that is taking place, an investigation at a very serious level, which will indicate the levels of corruption and fraud within the organization. But suffice to say that we believe strongly that officials who are involved in this will be convicted positively. Now, with respect to MSI plan, I have my special advisor here. On the issues of IT infrastructure, I should think it's one enabler wherein we are very lacking, and you'll be able to give us a sense and a heads up as to where things are. Because without IT and ability for us to communicate and work efficiently, some of the issues that Chair, you have mentioned in terms of the security, turnstiles and what have you, those are underpinned by your functionality of your IT systems, an ability to maintain a high profile because we are a security-oriented organization, and then we need to have an IT system that works. I'll pass on to Mr. Moji.
Thank you, Chairperson. In as far as the master information system plan is concerned, I think it's been designed in the last 5 years, and there's been attempts to roll out those programs. What we did within the last month was to pause everything and look at the security implications, look at all the policies, where we're going to roll out about 24 application and physical security policies, and then from there start by redesigning your networks, your infrastructure and everything else around those policies. The problem that you've had in the industry usually is that you just throw technology without looking at your security implications. And what we've realized is that challenges come not only from your server environment. There could be challenges that come from moving memory sticks, challenges that come from new applications that are being brought in. So we're having an overhaul of our policies and automating them so that when we bring in new applications and new infrastructure, there'll be security included in them. We've identified a number of initiatives, and one of them is to make sure that when we roll out these applications, for an example, the enterprise EDRMS system, we have basic infrastructure that's functioning. We are taking an analysis right now of the as-is in terms of understanding where we have leakages in our systems, in terms of our firewalls and peripheral networks, to make sure that we close those environments and create a situation where we can be able to start putting in what we call testing and making sure that the new systems that we're going to pilot are going to work well. So we've cut this thing to two key things. The immediate intervention is going to be what we call IT stabilization, where we're looking at infrastructure and infrastructure-related projects. And then from there, we're going to look at your security policies and implementing them across the board. That's the long and the short. And we have made a detailed presentation in terms of how much we're going to spend. I think the question was, what is it that we're going to do? We're going to improve the wide area network that we have with CETA, make it more speedier, and make the quality of data that moves there to improve. We're going to look at replacing more than 800 servers across the country, but consolidating them and making sure that they are secured. We're going to look at security as it relates to the applications that run on our systems. You have situations where, for example, someone can just come in and delete some data because of the privileges that he has. But if we implement our security policies, then we'll be able to deal with that effectively. So we're going to stabilize the infrastructure and then roll out some of the projects on the master systems plan.
Chairperson, I just want to find out, I want to know the time frame, because it's long. We don't have the IT system. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
Look, before you continue, anybody else that IT matters, because time is going to catch up. IT specifically, just raise your hand so that we have just one round of follow-up on IT and we move on. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, thank you, Chair. You know, the response of the department doesn't satisfy this committee, because now the department is talking as if it's the beginning of Parliament. 1994 is not fair to us. We want you to get a time frame, Chair. When is this security going to happen? Because the department has invested a lot of money on this thing, Chair. We are not happy about the answer that we are getting from the department. Can you please assist us when you come back? Give us a time frame. And we want you to see things happen, because we are the one who gave you guys this money. We are the one who passed this bill. But if we are continuing to give you money and we don't see anything that is happening with the money that we always pass, Chair, I'm afraid we're not going to pass any bill if the department is going to continue to do like this to us. Thank you, Chair.
No, maybe you can respond to those, Chief. But what I think we need to do, Commissioner, is that we're going to put our thoughts together tomorrow and come to you. Because this is a serious problem. You know, Chief, I'll take you back to 2001. When I was serving in Scopa, we had a problem with people being able to go and change sentences, 2001. Do yourself a favor, Commissioner, and go and look at your own annual reports as far back as 2001. We had this problem. So, maybe you want to respond to what is happening here now, but I do think that even if it's yourself and myself, we need to have a talk on this matter, because one of the questions that you're going to have to give me before the debate is how much money have you spent on IT in the last 5 years? Somebody must give me that. How much money has been spent on IT in the last 5 years? And maybe you must respond to what Mamlanda and them are saying, but I think we need a more detailed discussion. I don't know that you can respond to it now, Chief, but we need an architecture of what your IT is hoping to achieve. And I would suggest that when I come back here on the 1st of April or whenever we come back, Commissioner, if we can have a one-on-one, I'll come to Pretoria if I have to, because this thing is going to cost somebody's job, Commissioner. It's going to cost somebody's job.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. We have a printout here that has the timelines, and from what I can remember, we're talking about a period of that spans from 3 to 5 years in terms of rolling out the infrastructure. I've been with the department for about a month, actually. But what the key thing that I'm helping them with is to go in and look at the quality in terms of the user requirement specification. For an example, when you're talking about IT governance, you're not going to just crank out a paper and say, I want 200 servers. There has to be three things that you look at. The first thing that you have to look at is to make sure that there are proper controls that are inculcated into your database and your systems as you design them. The second thing is risk management in terms of IT systems, to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. And then the last one is performance and making sure that there's independent auditing. So we're going through all those URS systems that have been put in, and we're helping to make sure that the quality is correct, and then we start now building a roadmap of going forward based on the roadmap that I found already being in. So we're going to enhance that and start moving rapidly to improve systems based on that. But I do take your point that we'll sit down and give you a detailed presentation. We have about 6 or 7 pages that we had it in this presentation.
Chairperson? Yes, I was responding to the question that the Member of Parliament raised with regard to 7 days. Chairperson and the members, I need to correct the perception. The National Commissioner appointed me to act in LMN as part of my other responsibility. So LMN is represented, Mamnyanda. The question on the 7-day establishment, I think I need to, Chairperson, to indicate that there is some confusion that is being raised. The impact on correctional programs and rehabilitation programs is largely caused by the 12-hour shift, where at times officials are not at work, and that with the resource constraints that we have is impacting badly on our ability to provide correction and rehabilitation programs to offenders. I have a comprehensive response to the question, but let me just pick on the important points that are raised here. Is that, yes, we have developed 8 internally developed correctional programs, and we are currently busy with the behavior modification program on gangsterism. The economic offenses program is drafted and is currently in the process of consultation with regions and the branch development camp. The targets that we have indicated them, starting from the 2007-2008 financial year, was that 24,000 offenders participated in correctional programs. That figure increased to 60,000 in 2008-09. There was, however, a decrease in the total number of offenders that completed the programs in the past financial year of 09-10. And as we speak, Chairperson and Members of Parliament, I must confirm as well that indications with regard to our third quarterly report was also indicating to us that the number of offenders participating and programs presented has also decreased significantly. We were looking at the end of the financial year at 26,000 offenders only taking part in correctional programs. And that as a result of the implementation of the 2x12-hour shift, which sort of impacts directly to our capacity and ability to be able to present. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Administration, program administration. Under corporate services, the outcome is to fund 10% of unfunded posts. Is this an outcome or an activity? The outcome should be what the department aims to achieve by funding 10% of the unfunded posts, in my view. Under care, how many correctional centers are accredited sites for ARV treatment? How many sentenced offenders are in correctional facilities with mental illness? Those are three questions that I would like to answer.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just get my notes. I'm sorry, I'm just getting my notes right there.
Chair, thank you. The question of the number of accredited ARV sites in the department, the total number is 21. So I don't know whether there's anything linked to that one for now.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to really follow up on the commitment, the stated commitment in this presentation to root out detected corruption. And what concerns me is that there was an investigation that was done by the Special Investigating Unit some time ago. My understanding is that the report of the SIU was handed to the Minister in September of 2009, and that there are a number of outstanding civil and criminal sanctions that seem not to have been taken, at least on the face of it. And I wondered whether the department could brief us on this, because it does give a rise to a perception that despite its stated commitment to deal with corruption, when it comes to actually dealing with it, the actions don't follow the words. The second thing that I'd just like to touch on is the sentence plan and rehabilitative programs. And we've just heard Mr. Madisa mention that the number of programs has decreased over the last financial year. And yet in this particular strategic plan, it is contemplated that we are going to reduce the degree of partnership with private NGOs in rehabilitative programs by quite a percentage. I would like to know why, if we can't deliver these programs internally, we are seeking to reduce our partnerships on the private and NGO sector. And finally, speaking of the private sector, I see, well, not finally, actually, just semi-finally, on the building program, that we now see that the building of PPP prisons are now going to happen in 2013-14 and 2014-15. Is this now for real? Because we've been hearing about these prisons for some considerable time, and they've been promised and promised and promised. I want to know now, are they going to be delivered? And finally, just I see in the printed version of the strategic plan that provision is made now for the rollout of electronic monitoring devices in 2011-2012, procurement of equipment in 2012-13, and the implementation of 2013-14. I would respectfully suggest that if we want to get ahead on the idea of increasing the ratio of parole of probationers to sentenced offenders, we should deal with this program much, much more seriously than we seem to have been doing up until now. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, four questions have been fielded. The first one is on corruption and the report of SIU, September 2009. I'll request, Chairperson, with your indulgence, that this matter, in my particular instance, is before my case. I would like, therefore, to take a pause, but I should think the Honourable Minister, in the case that is before us of the people who have mentioned in the City Press on Sunday, I would like to afford my minister to have the appropriate response on this. I, the National Commissioner, I have an understanding, and therefore I would not like to give a half-cooked response to this. Certainly, the members of the team and the parliamentary liaison committee sitting here will also convey this to the minister. It's an issue that we need to bed and settle so that there is a common understanding as to where the department stands on this matter. On the issue, point number three, I'm skipping point number two, which is sentence plan and rehabilitation. Mr. Modisa will deal with that. On the triple P's. The triple P's, I would like to put on record that we did engage with the stakeholders, the bidding companies that were involved in this last year, either July, August, and we made a submission to them indicating the discomfort that we have. The discomfort being that the department has no ownership, and then we wanted the terms of and the technical specification be reviewed to be in line with the policy of the department. We indicated that we are not against the building of the triple P's, but we wanted a step change to meet what the department faced, the core business. We can report in this meeting, despite the challenge that we had, which was also the question of extension of the, what is it called in English? Expiry date of the... Yes. We needed to extend the life expectancy of the transactional advisor and the lapse of the agreements and the guarantees that were part and parcel of this. That was given to us. I, as the National Commissioner, in consultation with the Minister, Deputy Minister, we have therefore decided to proceed with the process, but with the advice that we'll get through the process that we unfold this. An interdepartmental bid evaluation committee is being established, comprising of the Department of Home Affairs, Department of International Relations and Cooperation, National Treasury, and Department of Public Works, and a member of Department of Correctional Services, so that we'll have a robust, unbiased approach to the problems of evaluation of this team. We want to move from a premise wherein our members are seen to be colluding with the companies possibly that might have put their bids in order to avoid any comebacks, because these are independent people coming from independent government department.
National Treasury in this case will be the key player, in the sense that we're spending taxpayers' money, and therefore if we have a nod and the participation of National Treasury in terms of governance issues relating to the assessment of those bids, then we can come here with our heads over our shoulders and being proud that the matter has been dealt with appropriately. Now, I would like to indicate that the process is as is that we would like to have the process concluded, all things being equal, in the evaluation by September, October this year. The issues of security, of the documents, and the area where this evaluation should take place, and we need to close all possible gaps with respect as to how we deal with this matter, because we're talking over an excess of 4 to 5 billion rands, and therefore we as a department would not like to have our hands tainted of any maladministration and poor performance in this regard. I would like to indicate to the members of Parliament and the Portfolio Committee in particular that with respect to electronic monitoring for probationers, first we would like to report to this committee that the team that I lead here went to the United States of America last year. The objective being for us to do a benchmarking exercise to understand as to how other institutions have been able to deal with issues that we are facing currently in the country. Security does not come cheap. And I should think it's something that we need to understand. For us to be able to maintain a high level of security, we need to be prepared to pay for security. And to be able to account for the money that was spent appropriately for this. Electronic monitoring system in the United States of America is something that is being given real high priority. And I should think it's something that we also would like to follow suit. Because it's very difficult for us to monitor those who are on probation and those who are on parole if we don't have technology. But it will be underpinned by the speed with which our colleagues in IIT are able to have robust functional systems on the ground. In our published strategic plan on page 30, we indicate that the electronic monitoring for probationers and parolees, the output is the functional electronic system, and would develop specifications for electronic monitoring in the financial year we are about to begin. We don't need to be hasty about it. We need to have this process well embedded, because it's very easy for us to spend money that is not easily. We need to have a business case properly fundamented, and also the funding must be clearly identified as to how this is going to be done, and the rollout must follow the processes thereof. And they were saying in 12-13 we'll do the procurement of equipment and the implementation of the system in the year after. I should think, Chairperson, we would like to put into this organization a new way of doing things. Because examples that we have seen before us is that things have been done hastily before, and we don't want to burn our fingers. I've indicated to the team that there will be no procurement which is not supported by a business case, and a business case that indicates all the processes thereof. And that business case must also indicate the needs analysis that has been followed, and the funding model, and how the implementation should take place. So I would like to request this, the Portfolio Committee, to accept that where we might have erred in the past, we would like to correct those processes, and certainly to have clean governance amongst us as a department. I therefore request my colleagues to deal with question number 2 raised by Member of Parliament self on sentence plan, and why we're reducing the partnership of other stakeholders, non-governmental organizations, and the public sector. By the same time, if my colleagues could also speak to the issue of rollout of electronic monitoring, which I've already touched on. And we'll come back to the question raised by Member of Parliament, Mele. Thank you.
You can hand it over. On the first matter, just to indicate that one of our first interactions when we get back from recess, the 1st of June, we, as I indicated earlier, we're having this type of indication where the minister has made an undertaking to be present. It is at that hearing that I suggest that the matter that you defer in National Commissioner around the names and so on
will be interrogated in detail, because we have to get to the bottom of, we can't have Adrian Basson and Bosasa and those people reoccurring every 6 months. We have to get to the bottom of it. So with the indulgence of my colleagues, I'm appealing that the very first interaction we have with this department is the 1st of June, and the minister is here. It will be one of the agenda items. Okay. Yes, respond.
Chairperson, thank you. Hello. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think the concern that is raised by the Member of Parliament, Mr. Self, about correctional services. About correctional services decreasing the number of stakeholders that are providing programs to offenders. What I can state, it is true, and I think that inference can be made. But I think it was talking to correctional services itself being responsible to the implementation of correctional sentence plans and providing an opportunity for stakeholders to also do programs that would assist with the skilling of offenders. The department has taken that responsibility of having our own staff that are going to do correctional programs, largely because these programs are intensive and are programs that need to be done on a regular basis. Now, the target that we have set ourselves was that we need to take over the correctional programs and have a reduced number of stakeholders taking part. I need to indicate that that's what the department has indicated that they would be able to do. And we have taken a number of strides in ensuring that we have capacitated our own staff by taking them through rigorous training the past 6 months, and at this point in time, we can provide to the chairperson and portfolio committee members the number of officials that have been trained that would be able to implement these programs. However, I must also indicate that in the rendition of other programs that are also having rehabilitation as an objective, we still make use of stakeholders in our community corrections offices and also at some of our facilities like indicated in the report. The other question was with regard to mental health, mentally ill offenders. We have a total number of 2,276 as per the audit that was conducted by the task team that Minister of Correctional Services has instructed. This number, Chairperson, can be subject to difference because the information we have was at the end of the year, 31st December 2010. So as we speak now, I think there has been changes with regard to that. I can confirm that there are programs that are being rendered by appropriately trained and qualified healthcare services, healthcare workers, that include your professional nurses, psychologists, and psychiatrists. And we are also referring some of these offenders to external service providers. Each correctional health facility provides the following mental health services and programs: orientation, initial assessment, which includes screening to determine the mental status of the offender, the suicide risk, and any other existing health condition, and comprehensive assessment, which includes observation, health inquiry, and interviews, as well as physical examination, but also the provision of therapeutic programs and services that are that includes curative and medical interventions, health promotion and disease prevention and rehabilitation through individual or group sessions, psychotherapy, emergency care where relevant. And as I've said, referrals and counseling that is being provided by other external stakeholders. I think the other question that was raised with regard to electronic monitoring, I think National Commissioner has responded to that fairly well, and I'm very much comfortable with the report that he has given. Chairperson, we do have the response in writing as well. We can also make it available to yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, slide number 20, program development. The percentage of eligible offenders who participate in production workshops and agriculture programs. They say here that 5% participate in production workshops, give you a total of 1,890. Out of a population of, what, 160,000? And the agriculture is 3,138. And they say that there is an improved participation of 2%. Chairperson, I don't understand how we can have warm bodies in this institution and we only have a paltry figure of 3,138 participating in agricultural activity. And we have 160,000 bodies that have to be fed every day. This is totally unacceptable, Chair. And I get the impression that everything that we've said here in the past about self-sufficiency seems to be falling on deaf ears. We are not utilizing the human material that we have profitably. Are we aware that our country imports 250,000 tons of chicken from Brazil? And I'm sure that a lot of the chicken finds its way to this department as well, because you are not self-sufficient. What are you doing to bring about self-sufficiency? I think somewhere I've seen here a figure of 1.7 million made available for agricultural activity. I'm speaking under correction. That's totally unacceptable. We need to know what you are doing. Regarding the production workshops, here again, we have many of our schools where the children do not have desks. They don't have adequate facilities. It is something where interdepartmentally, I get the impression that we work in silos, that we are not working with in tandem with other state departments to provide for those young people, to provide them with desks and stuff so that at least they can look forward to a better future. What are you doing to engage sister departments in the administrations to come on board and give you the order to manufacture desks and other materials? This can even be drawn further. A state procures millions of rands worth of furniture annually. At least part of it can be produced by our people in these institutions, and they can be skilled that one day when they leave the institution, they at least have something that they can fall back on. Then, Chairperson, the other problem was raised by Mr. Self, but it is one that really bothers me. I get the impression that it is a given that we will be building PPPs, because in slide 23, from the 2011 right up to the 2016 financial years, it is planned to have 16511 additional bed spaces, of which 12,000 will come via PPP initiatives. Now, in the Treasury document, under Vote 21, the following statement is made, and that is that feasibility studies, feasibility studies, I can't read what I wrote here. It sort of stated that PPP was the most cost-effective method of procurement. Verachtig, Chairperson, I don't understand. When we look at the expenditure that has been proposed for the upcoming years, 2011, right up to 2014, you have the two current PPPs, which are going to cost us 795 in the current year, 2010-11 million, 2011-12 843 million, 2012-13 876 million, 2013-14 911 million. A billion rand almost. We are coming close to a billion rand in the ensuing years after 2014, say 2015, 2016, we'll be close to a billion rand for two. Now, Chairperson, if that is cost-effective, I suppose I'm then the most stupid person here in this room. If you want to tell me that this is cost-effective, we want to do more PPPs. Then, Chair, against that, you have the Kimberley facility, which has cost us, I think, 961 million rand. They say that that is the total project cost. And I'm referring to the Treasury documents. Now, Chairperson, I would like to know, what is the running cost of the Kimberley facility? I think it was commissioned early last year, right up to the latest date for which figures are available. Because then I want to be satisfied that we are not going to tie up the next generation into long-term contracts in PPPs, which are going to cost us far in excess of what it would have cost us had we built them ourselves and had we run them ourselves. And furthermore, Chair, there are programs here where you are planning to increase capacities at a numerous places in the country. 300 extra beds here and 500 there and 700 there. And if I look at the projected cost, I want to underline the projected cost, and I compare it to a 3,000-person facility, then I say that somebody is trying to tell us that we are busy engaged here in a madhouse, and we don't know what's going on. And I think, Chairperson, we need answers. This feasibility study that was conducted, we would like to see a copy of that feasibility study. We would like to know who conducted it, who commissioned them, what were the terms of reference, so that we can understand how these people can arrive at these colossal figures. Finally, Chairperson, a question of integrity of the documents that are placed before us normally. Unfortunately, I have a penchant for these things. On page 9 of the strategic plan, the commissioner states that the department has 6,657 vacancies, which account for 14% of the department's approved and financed staff establishment. Now, if one adds this number of vacant posts to the number of filled posts, 40388, which is given on page 13, one gets a total of funded posts standing at 47045. On page 13 of the strategic plan, the department highlights that the post establishment for the department is 46874, and the number of funded posts is 41500. This definitely does not tally with the above information. On page 13, the department indicates that the number of filled posts is 40388 and the vacancy rate is 13.8%. If the number of funded posts is 41,500 as indicated on the same page, then the vacancy rate should be 2.7%. In other words, relating to 1,112 funded posts, vacancies. The vacancy rate is calculated using the number of funded posts as the base. However, sir, if one decides to use the number of approved posts given on page 13 to calculate the number of vacant posts, one gets 6486 and not 6657 given on page 9, a difference of almost 200. Therefore, Chairperson, there is a need for the department that when it puts pen to paper and gives us a document, that one must be able to say that this document comes from the department, it has integrity, that we can accept whatever is placed in that document. Over here, Chairperson, this creates serious doubt and confusion, and it compels one to wonder whether all these beautiful plans that we've seen here on these slides, Chairperson, we intend to do this and we intend to do that, whether all these good intentions will really come to fruition. Thank you, sir.
I think what's going to happen, Commissioner, is that we're going to ask Mr. Abram the next time, or anybody else, if they can highlight something like that, where the department says red on page 1 and says green on page 2 for the same thing. Somebody is going to be named and shamed. We can't have a situation where every time Mr. Abram speaks, he is able to pinpoint where what we are saying on page 1 doesn't tell you what we are saying on page 2. And he raises it. None of you ever respond or apologize about it. None of you have in the past at least 3 meetings. Nobody has apologized or offered an explanation. And that's fine. From our side, the next time we pick up something like that, somebody is going to be named and shamed and somebody is going to be embarrassed. We can't have a situation where it seems to be a cut and paste or we don't care. We give these guys these things because they probably will not pick it up tomorrow because we gave it to them yesterday, or they don't read page 1 and reconcile it with page 2. We don't want an apology, but we want to send out the signal that the next time some of us pick this thing up, I want to assure you that somebody is going to be named and shamed, and we'll tell the minister this afternoon, we'll tell her, that this is not going to be acceptable anymore. I'm going to say that to the minister when I meet her at 2 o'clock, and you might as well tell it to the deputy minister. The next time something like this appears here, there has to be consequences for this type of thing. Quality assurance, when reports come to us, is going to have to be upped seriously. So we wanted to say that, but you can respond to the others. Thanks.
Chairperson, my sincere apology, I should think I said it before, to this team and to yourself, that quality assurance is my pet passion. And I sincerely lament on behalf of the department and also accept the frank criticism that Member of Parliament, Mr. Abram, has made here in terms of the inconsistency. It's unacceptable. But it's a matter that we need to address ourselves as a department. And we take the serious recommendations that you have made to us today. May I then, with your permission, Chairperson, respond to some of the matters raised by the Member of Parliament, slide 20 in particular, on the production workshops and agricultural projects. May I hasten to indicate that not all correctional facilities in the country have production workshops and agricultural projects. I should think if we start on that basis, then we'll be able to mitigate the understanding and perhaps start from the same position. Very few facilities in the country, correctional facilities, have production workshops. Very few have agricultural projects. A case in point, Johannesburg Prison does not have an agricultural project. But Logop has both production and agricultural. Zonderwater has both agricultural and workshops. So therefore, if the members of the portfolio committee could understand with us that not all correctional facilities, and therefore the number of 160,000 inmates in our facilities, they are not affected by this particular phenomenon. Which means, therefore, of the total number of inmates that we have, very few will be exposed to this particular aspect. Therefore, perhaps the number that you see there, which is small, is a reflection of the number of facilities that have this type of functionality. May I also indicate on record here that we have a propensity as a department, and I've indicated this to the team, that we need to be an organization that is self-funding, a revenue-generating organization, and maximize the potential that we have within the organization of those facilities that have this type of capacity. What it means, therefore, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee, is our interaction with National Treasury to allow us to retain the revenue that we may generate in the sale of some of the products. But if I may take this step much further, the Member of Parliament has indicated that there is a need for us to also to interact with the members of the community. A case in point is the facility in Mudimule in particular, wherein we deal with what you call poverty alleviation projects. We're helping the community in Mudimule in terms of the products that we produce in our agricultural projects. We give them our access in terms of the vegetable gardens that we have. We do work with communities. I should think the problem that we have here is the poor communication that we have. This we must make an admission here. We do have projects wherein we work with the communities. Poverty relief programs are there in the organization. And indeed, if we were to take this committee to Zonderwater in particular, which I see as a model in relation to others, you'll be able to see and appreciate the amount of work that the offenders are involved in. Subject to correction, how many hectares of land do we have in Zonderwater, Kenny? Yes. 26 hectares of agriculture. We have a state-of-the-art abattoir for poultry, and we have a state-of-the-art of workshops that we have there. And we do also have members of the community coming to that facility in Zonderwater, young men and women being trained in woodwork, steelworks, and also in production. So I want to put it to yourself, Chairperson, and the community here, that indeed, as far as the workshop, production workshops and agricultural projects, we are having sterling projects which you need to be able to do the marketing thereof. I would like to go quickly on slide 23 on the triple P's, which I had tried to explain. Member of Parliament wanted to know whether it's cost effective. I would not like to get into that debate. I should think we'd leap to sit down and make our number crunching. Because the issue of cost effectiveness of any project is dependent as to how much it impacts on the organization. The issue of the triple P's in the meeting that we had with the minister, with the stakeholders, was the issue of the 25 years lease. We are passionate as leadership of this organization that we are passing on the buck and our responsibilities to others. 25-year lease, members of the Portfolio Committee, for me, is not cost-effective. And there is no way, as the National Commissioner, can I in this meeting assure you that we have a plan as to how we'll take over in 25 years. Because it means I must start now preparing for 25 years for a facility that I have no ownership of. Those are side issues. Our concern in that meeting was that we need also to look into the truncation of this term of 25 years to something that is acceptable. But be as it may, the cost effectiveness of, in terms of those who preceded us in the installation of the triple P's, the two that we have, is that every year we spend over R1 billion. Am I right, CFO? It's close to R1 billion. Because for each offender that we put in that facility, we pay for them. I'm now putting this debate perhaps for us to be able to lift up the issues from the ground. If the department is paying, besides the contract that we have with the triple P's, every month there is a fee that we pay to the owners of this triple P. for the upkeep of the offenders in those facilities. If I take myself off as a simple economist, it's not cost effective, but that's by the by. I'm saying this issue is that we need to interrogate the process going forward. This department is committed in meeting its obligations. The feasibility studies, I should think, I would like to request the department, because I'm new also, to provide me with the feasibility studies, because therefore we can have a common approach to this. I should think those exist, Member of Parliament. I should think this project could not have happened without a feasibility study. On the issue of the running cost of the new Kimberley Correctional Facility, my colleagues will respond to that. With respect to projected cost, I should think my colleagues will also deal with that. But certainly on the two questions that you have raised, this team here will not tell lies. This team here will speak about the realities on the ground. The triple P's and the production workshops is the reality of what we have on the ground. It's not every inmate who is exposed to this, Chairperson. A very few of our inmates have access to the workshops. We would have liked all things equal to have all the correctional centers have something wherein, indeed, we do have make use of offender labor. Members of the members of the portfolio committee did visit Pretoria Central. You did visit the workshops. We don't have agricultural projects there. I should think it indicates the uniqueness of each facility and where it's located. If it's in the built-up area, we won't have agricultural land, and it also depends as to whether there is land for us to engage on agricultural activity. Without waste of time, I'll ask, with your permission, Chairperson, that the colleagues respond to some of the issues that have been raised here. Chairperson, thank you.
Chairperson, I think Commissioner has partly responded to the questions that have been raised. The running cost of the new Kimberley Correctional Center, we don't have at this point in time, Chairperson. We can provide that to yourself and the members of Parliament, because it would be a thumbsuck from us should we say we have that information. We don't have it now. What I would just like to add on what the National Commissioner has indicated, Chairperson, are the work opportunities that are there for offenders at those centers where we have agriculture being practiced on our prison farms, but as well as production workshops that we have throughout the country at particular institutions. I can confirm to the Chairperson and members of Parliament that where we have those facilities, offenders are working and offenders are producing quite a number of products that will that also assist us in ensuring that there's self-sufficiency. I'm here referring to our textile workshops, like at the facility there in Pretoria, even though we would like to have it 100% being functional and all offenders taking part. We are manufacturing our own orange clothes, we're manufacturing our own towels and face cloth, and we are also manufacturing also our own underwear. Kimberley, same textile workshops, we're also producing the large quantity of orange clothes for offenders. I think Kimberley is providing to all of the centers in the Northern Cape and part of the Free State. It goes like that in most of the regions where we have these workshops. In St. Albans, we have a shoe factory there, Chairperson, that is producing shoes for offenders. I think it would be appropriate for us to provide that entire information to yourself, indicating from which centers and which regions these workshops are functioning, and what is it that they are producing and at what cost. Unfortunately, Chairperson, we must also confirm that we don't have all of the numbers that we would have loved to have because of some capacity problems that we have with regard to our own artisans. There are positions that are vacant, that are not filled, and as such, there is no skills development that is taking place at the levels that we as a department would have wished for.
So I'm trying to say, Chairperson, yes, there is work that has been done with regard to that, but not at the levels that we would have loved it to be. Thank you very much.
Okay. Just to get clarity, and maybe you can respond to it, we're going to give you a few minutes just to highlight the finances, because the strat plan for us is more important. What is the running cost of the two prisons? Did we say it's 870 plus something, or is it 870 combined? I thought it was 870 plus something else, but I'm saying you don't have to respond to it now. You can respond to just what are the running, what did it cost this department for those two PPPs? You need to respond to that. We've got 15 minutes, literally 10 minutes. Cindy, I don't know if we're having lunch here or having lunch somewhere else in this venue. In the dining room. What is it? Sit down? Was it a buffet? Sure. I thought we could work and eat. But what we will do, we'll give you about 10 minutes to bamba bamba, Jay, all the key issues around the budget that you think you want us to talk to. Because if we understand the strat plan, we'll be able to combine the strat plan with your figures when we sit tomorrow and say, but these things don't make sense to us because we are saying A on this and B on that one. So about 10 to 15 minutes, if there is a real pressing question that a member would want to ask on the basis of your input, we will allow for that. But otherwise, try and marry the budget to the strat plan that we've been talking to, sir, plus answering the question around the costs. Thank you very much.
CFO, may you quickly perhaps refer to the running cost of the two triple Ps. Is it 872 million and so that we close it? Then you get to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, if I start with triple P, as the honorable member was alluded to in terms of the E&E that was produced by Treasury and also in terms of our expenditure report, The members must remember that we are only paying for unitary fee now to those members, of which at this point in time, the current figure that we are paying 795, but it's moving. The following year, it will be 843. That is the status as of now. Chairperson, my presentation, it won't be. In fact, it only contained in one slide because from this slide, it's a matter of explaining the as per program, as per what is earmarked, as per GFS. But the most important slide is what it's there, Chairperson. The department had a baseline of 16 billion in the year that we are approaching. And for 2012, we had 18. From 2013 to 14, we had 19. But we had received additional funding, Chairperson, of 579 million in the year that we are approaching. And for 2012, 2013, it's 1046. And the year of the MTF, it's 1147. What is the makeup of that, Chairperson? The first one is improved conditions of service, of which it made out of. This year under review, Chairperson, the budget for compensation that was budgeted for was 5.3%, but the final negotiated figure was 7.5%. It means there was an improvement in the conditions, of which it came to 371, but for the entire MTF it's 382, 395, and also we received a municipality services, the additional funding for municipality services for the first year, which is the year that we are approaching, 148, 199, and 242. And the other additional figure that we received, Chairperson, is the upgrade of the information technology infrastructure. We, on the year that we are approaching, we're going to get 60 million, 190 million, 210. Okay. Chairperson, in terms of the generators for the new correctional centers and the cleaning material, we submitted to Treasury the bid that we require more money for this, but it never been allocated to us, Chairperson. What was the response from Treasury that we must look within our budget, more specially on the goods and services? They still believe that we can get something from the goods and services, as well as the operational cost for three correctional centers. We were declined from National Treasury that for these 2011-12, no money that will be allocated. We have to look within our budget. Chairperson, and the other one, there was in terms of anti-ARVs, the only thing that we receive as an additional figure is that from 2012-2013, which is 40 million. For 2013-2014, it's 42 million. In terms of that, Chairperson, the department, if one can look at the department, it's, let me use the Free State. Free State at this point in time in the current year, we are still negotiating with the Department of Health, of which we never receive any invoice for the service that it's been given to us. Now there is an understanding on that item. The argument is we cannot give you something till you prove that you'll spend that money. So that is the problem at this point in time, of which it's not much of the problem because in terms of the billing system from the Department of Health, it's not been finalized as yet. I'm still waiting for that, Chairperson. The other one is in terms of the adjustments that we made. On the 18th of December, the Cabinet took the decision that each and every department needed to cut its budget. And our department had to cut our baseline by 48, and 54, and 57, of which it reduced what the amount that we have. The other amount that was subtracted from the budget was the triple P, was for the triple P. I would like to explain to members why one supported as well to say that amount it should be suspended back. Because the department, we can't keep on having the money in the budget of which the triple P are not yet completed. If the members can see on our strategic planning, it shows very clearly that by 2012-2013, those triple P is not going to be completed. So it means this unitary fee, there is no stage that we can start paying before it get completed. So what we agreed with Treasury to say, let's suspend this amount for now, because we're not going to use it. When we are ready to use it, it will come back to the department by the time we need it, because other departments within the cluster, they might need this amount to use it as we are speaking. It's of no use to sit with something that you can't use. Chairperson, this is the most important slide where it shows the baseline where we are, where we were after this, because our baseline moved to 16,559 and 17,804 and 18,827. The other slide, Chairperson, is the matter of building up from this slide. Unless if the members want me to continue to each and every slide, of which I don't have a problem to do that. Chairperson, the next slide is talk about, as I indicated, that I will be talking about the earmark projects, the earmark funding, as well as the SPEP program and the GFS classification. On this slide, Chairperson, it shows what is earmarked. By earmarking, we mean that the budget that cannot be used or to do the environment to any other project, it has to be used on this item. The first one is in terms of devolution of funds from public works, of which is for rentals, leases, municipality services. That is the first one. The second one is the repairs and maintenance of correctional and other facilities. The last one is the upgrade and rehabilitation of refurbishment of correctional facilities, of which in 2012, 1417, 62, and 906. This amount is earmarked. If the department is not using that amount, it has to go back to Treasury at no stage where we can apply for environment for us not using this amount. And Chairperson, in terms of after we received those allocation, in terms of allocation per program, the total amount, as I indicated on my earlier slide, that is 16,559, of which in terms of administration, it moved from 4056 to 4449, of which that was the movement. Okay, the entire movement, Chairperson, it's moved from 15,427 to 16,559. That is what is indicating in terms of this slide, it's per program. The next slide is the same, but is in terms of GFS classification now. Under the compensation, we moved from 10,247 and we moved to 10,964. Under goods and services, we were from 4177, we're moving to 4377. Under transfer and subsidies, we moved from 29 to 31 million. Under payment for capital, 972 to 1185 billion. The entire movement is from 15,427, 16,559. Chairperson, in terms of this slide, I will only, because what happened, whatever I explained before, it will come up to the slides again. I will only highlight where are we focusing in terms of the spending pattern. Our spending focus on the administration, program administration, it focuses is on the upgrading ICT infrastructure and the payment for municipality services. As I indicated on the previous slide, that we receive an additional funding on the ICT as well as the municipality service. That is where our focus will be. Okay. And I think the other one is something that I already explained, unless the members, they want me to go back to what I already explained. Under security, it's the spending focus is over the MTF will be on developing an integrated security technology framework to integrate and upgrade the current security technology system in the department, which is in line with our strategic planning. Under correction, spending focus over the MTF will be on improving services at the correctional center levels, including rehabilitating offenders in line with the 2005 white paper on corrections. Under care, spending focus is on the provision of ARV treatment for inmates, healthcare services and treatment of inmates with mental illness. The same under development, the spending focus will be on the increasing inmate participation in agriculture-based program and the production workshop, literacy program, adult basic education and training, and further education and training with a view to improve the employability of inmates upon release. Social integration, spending focus will be reducing parole violation, improve the capacity of community corrections, and increasing the number of victim participation in parole hearing. Facilities, spending focus would be on the making of 3 upgraded correction facilities operational, which are Brantley, Van Restrop, and Vorm Bonkerveld. Upgrading and refurbishing other correction facilities and other procurement of 4 planned public partnership correction facilities once the contract has been signed. But there is no contract that has been signed at this point in time, Chairperson. It's the same explanation that it's on the, in terms of the GFS classification, Chairperson. I think the other slide that are following, it will be a repetition of what I already explained, unless the members want me to continue, but it will be a repetition. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. It is 1:05. Cindy's lunch is ready, and everybody's invited, is it not? Everybody's invited to lunch, so I'm not sure if there are any questions. Safe to say, Commissioner, and you probably would have heard it, that, and everybody says it, we accept that you can't overnight change the balance of the budget. In other words, we've always argued that your budget doesn't talk to your white paper, but we want to begin to see movement in that direction. So I don't think we want to raise it, because we've raised it for many years, but we really want to see movement away from 34% security, 27% administration, and then you have 3% for the things that the white paper talks about. We need to see fundamental changes to that. I think that's something that if members want to talk to. I've just got one question, and maybe I'm not understanding it. Oh, just before that, another comment I want to make is that when I look at these things and you give us your focus, it's really mostly on IT. And that is why, Chief, we're going to sit and have a discussion around what is it that we're hoping to achieve, and by when are we hoping to achieve it. It seems to be the major focus point, and whilst we agree that it's necessary, but we don't want to be buying something that is not going to yield results. So we'll have a discussion on that one, I can assure you. What is pleasing, and we'll hold you to this, Commissioner, if you look at all the things that you chose to put before us, I don't see many gaps for consultants. I really don't see many gaps for consultants and outsourcing, other than the IT and so on. So when we meet the first quarter next year and there's a major expense on outsourcing and consultants, you're going to have to explain. Because if you go through all these projects you're talking about, these are our key things, none of them have that. So we welcome that for now, but we certainly will keep an eye on those things. I thought it was important that we tell you that these are the things that are going to happen. Just one question. Your slide, and maybe I'm not understanding it, slide 28. 2011-2012. If you do the arithmetic, that's the 16,027,423 all the way down. Are you saying that if I add all those things, it will come to 16,559,196? Is that what it was supposed to? Well, I've done it twice, unless my calculator is not working. If you do the sums on all those things, and maybe somebody just do them for me, maybe I'm doing something wrong, I come to 171,87133. Yes, sir.
No, I did the minus. You want to explain it? Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you need to do that, because if I don't understand it, I can assure you many other people don't understand it. I see that you've got it in bold, but you'll have to find a way of doing it, because if you add it, in layman's language, it comes to something else, and I'm sure Abraham was going to fight with you again. So just find a way of doing that for us to make sure that it's a subtotal, so that, because this becomes a public document. Those of us that are here can understand it, but I'm sure somebody that's going to get it just now is going to say, once again, correctional services are not doing their homework correctly. All right. I don't know if there are any other members. You will respond all in all, but just comments on the figures.
Thank you, Chairperson. How much has been spent on consultation, consulted and transition advisor for the PPP prison since the inception stage until to date? My second question, DCS needs to indicate to the committee whether they will build 10 dedicated remand detention facility or only upgrade the existing facility, because last in the briefing last year you said you'll upgrade this one, but now I don't know. And has the department signed the service level agreement with the NPPW? Have you signed the agreement? I just want to get that clarity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Anybody else on the line?
Yes, Chair. Yes. Chair, I just want to reiterate that we understand that not all facilities that we have can provide whatever we all require. For example, you can't have agriculture at Pretoria Central. But Chair, you as Chairperson have in the past stated here that we should create centers of excellence. And for example, why must somebody at Pretoria Central who may be interested in doing something in agriculture not have that opportunity? One needs to try and see whether we cannot accommodate these people somewhere else. And we need to create centers of excellence so that we can develop expertise for people. The final one, Chair, under administration, the indicator, percentage of days lost to leave. This should actually have specific targets. What is given at the moment is that action will be taken. And I wonder, Chairperson, if leave days can be regarded as lost days. We need to look at that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'll respond on the programs, workshops, so that we have a confirmation of our position. Yes, I sincerely agree that if there is a member in Pretoria and he or she is interested in agricultural projects, it is good for us to include that inmate, but there is security considerations of transporting this inmate from Pretoria to Zonderwater. It means, therefore, also any project that we have, it has a limitation in terms of numbers. I should think it's important that we predicate this. If we say we have a workshop, it's not everybody in that facility. What we are saying is that in that workshop, it can only take 15 people. And if it's 15 people and we add another 15 people, then it's a problem, because it compromises security. So projects that we have in terms of workshops, agriculture is completely different because it's vast tracts of land. But at the same time, when you have spans that go to agricultural projects, there is consideration in terms of security. But we can't, members of Portfolio Committee, take people from Johannesburg who are interested in agriculture to go into a farm in Zonderwater. There are issues that we need to deal with. But certainly, the ideal situation that we're looking forward is that we should be able, as you rightly say, to create centers of excellence. Identify projects wherein there may be synergies, wherein offenders are put into productive labor. The limitation, because some of these projects are inelastic, if it says it's 20 hectares calculation based on work ethics is that you can only have certain number of people being involved. We do take that very seriously. We want also to underpin the issue of offender labor being a criteria within our facilities. We're not taking this very lightly, members of the portfolio committee. Offender labor, we know that it's something that we need to. We cannot have people sitting in our facilities not doing anything. Now, with respect to public works service level agreement, yes, we have signed a service level agreement with the Department of Public Works. You'd recall, members of the portfolio committee, we had a joint session with them, and we made an agreement and a commitment that we shall sit down and look into the service level agreement, whether it fits the profile and the issues that that service level agreement purports to support. Yes, we have signed that, and we have also met with the DG of Public Works in an official meeting wherein we're discussing a number of issues. So there is an ongoing process for us to understand where the bottlenecks are. They do also have a challenge as Public Works. And those challenges we need also to take into account that they impact not only Department of Correctional Services, but government-wide departments. So we, in particular, will need to deal with what affects us. With respect to the other questions, I leave that to my colleagues so that we shorten the response.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to respond on the running cost of Kimberley Correctional. The new Kimberley Correctional Center is 85,709,000. And then if you break that down, compensation of employees is 80,319,000. And goods and services is 4,323,600. And the households is 399,600. I might be faster, but I can be able to provide these figures at the later stage. And the capital is capital work is 666,100. Is 85,000,000. Yes. For 1 year, yes. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the question regarding leave, here the focus is basically on the percentage of person days lost to leave, not necessarily your annual leave, but actually your sick leave, temporary incapacity leave, as well as permanent incapacity leave. There is a need for us as an organization to really identify what are those root causes so that we can be able to come up with a holistic approach in terms of dealing with the wellness of our employees. Thank you.
More comments? Anybody wants to comment on anything else?
Chairperson, is with regard to the remand detention facilities that we had indicated that we're going to upgrade and renovate and not to build. The costs were determined by the National Department of Public Works, which was around 4 billion. The feasibility studies per facility had to be done to determine actual costs and not estimations. And in terms of PFMA Act, all major projects which exceed the amount of 300 million must undergo a feasibility study. So we are at that point, Chairperson, that we are busy with the upgrade. We have installed video remand facilities, and 11 are already functional at throughout the country. We still having some backlogs in the Eastern Cape province, especially with regard to King Williamstown and Mthatha, but we're currently working on that together with the other partners in the criminal justice system. Thank you, sir.
Chair, all I want to say is very interesting. 85 million to run 3,000 in
Okay. Now we'll process it tomorrow when we sit as a committee. But thank you very much once more. It's 20 past. We've overrun slightly, but I thought it was important. Just to reiterate, the committee will sit tomorrow in V475 Cindy at 11 o'clock, where we will adopt a report on what we think of the budget. Taking what you've given us, plus whatever we've been dealing with over the past 2 days from the stakeholders that we interact with. And then on the 12th of April, the debate on correctional services budget takes place. So that is the process that goes forward from here in terms of the budget process. We'll also catch up with yourselves, as we indicated, very early when we get back after the local government elections to deal with the final quarter of the previous year. Because it'll be the previous year by the time we get back. So we're still going to do that, plus the state of affairs. Let us indicate that as a committee we are going to also do what you're doing, a strat plan. On the basis of what you've given us, on the basis of the state of the department that we will have with the minister and yourselves, and we'll have our own strat plan in terms of what we think the key priority areas, including the always the ever-standing oversight visits. Nele, we're going to Ngome, I can tell you that now. We're going to Durban Westville, I can tell you that now. We're going to Amtata, for those that are in Amtata, we can tell you that now. We're going to Kroonstad, for those that are in Kroonstad, we can tell you that now. And all this is going to happen when we get back. And I think we're going somewhere in Gauteng. Zonderwater we're going to, so we're going to do a round trip around the country. Those are the announced visits that we are letting you know now. And you'll notice that at some times we do unannounced visits. Certainly Cindy and I will get into the car in Mamelo and do unannounced visits. So that will continue to happen. And it's at that point where we're able to tell you that CDC in Leeuwkop is not a qualified individual. So we are going to hold you seriously accountable going forward, ladies and gentlemen. Can you guys give us, or have you got it readily available?
Chairperson, I should think on record, as you alluded, that we have, as a policy, reduced the intervention of consultants. In the last financial year, we had a plethora or a lots of consultants in IT. And it is the feeling of this organization and as a policy that we cannot have consultants running the show. In the Department of Correctional Services, if my memory serves me well, we have 97 consultants and 15 or 20 members permanent. It's a huge, skewed setup, unacceptable, and we have not engaged any consultants in that field except the advisor who is coming to help us to operationalize Department of Correctional Services in IT. We have not also engaged in the wholesale of bringing consultants in the organization. So the cost of consultants is as in the past, with a view of reducing the number of consultants that we have in our midst. But we also need to indicate that we are not going to remove all consultants. It's not feasible. There is a need in any government department to have consultants as and when they're necessary. But in this case, we see an anomaly in the sense that the Department of Correctional Services has had consultants for the last 15 years. In the IT space. And that's an issue that we are trying to address. We have very few consultants in any other field for that matter. We have consultants, I should think, in the PPP, but it's not a concern that will make us not sleep at night. But the consultants that we have in IT are a cause for concern As a security department, we cannot have a department that is run at that level. So we're trying to re-engineer and also keep those that we think in the medium long term will add value to the organization. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, you might as well close from outside. We've closed. Everybody's invited to lunch. Everybody's invited to lunch. The house sits at 2, so around about 10 to the bells will start ringing. So if these people start leaving you, it's not because they're angry with you, but it's because they have to go to the house. But everybody's invited to lunch.